Picture a little girl wandering through empty science labs on dark winter nights, her small hand tucked into her father's larger one. This isn't a fairy tale, it's Hope Jahren's origin story. Growing up in rural Minnesota, she fell in love with the indestructible black countertops and silver nozzles of her father's community college lab, long before she understood what science meant. Their two-mile walks home through their small town followed a ritual of Scandinavian silence, a quietness that spoke volumes about belonging. Those childhood nights shaped Jahren's understanding of laboratories as sacred spaces, not cold, sterile rooms, but warm havens where she could be fully herself. When she later built three laboratories from scratch, culminating in her Honolulu facility, she wasn't just creating workspaces. She was building homes in the truest sense, places where her brain could live on her fingertips, where doing mattered more than talking, where the machines droned like gathering hymns. The laboratory became her church, a place to figure out what she believed, to repair her armor after professional battles, and to practice rituals both understood and mysterious. For Jahren, traits that had annoyed other teachers, her inability to let things go, her tendency to overdo everything, became exactly what science professors valued. Science didn't just give her a career, it gave her sanctuary. Cherry seeds wait 100 years in darkness, sensing the perfect combination of temperature, moisture, and light for their one chance at life. An acorn is as alive as the 300-year-old oak above it, but with opposite purposes. The seed waits to flourish, while the tree waits to die. Beneath every forest footprint lie hundreds of seeds hoping for opportunity. More than half will die waiting, yet a single birch produces 250,000 seeds annually, hedging against extinction. Each seed is mostly food, sustaining its waiting embryo, just a few hundred cells forming a blueprint with root and shoot already formed, doubled over in patient anticipation. Scientists cracked open a lotus seed from a Chinese peat bog that had waited 2,000 years, keeping hope alive while civilizations rose and fell. Jahren's hackberry research initially failed when her specimens refused to flower, teaching her that experiments aren't about forcing compliance. Breakthroughs require the right conditions and sometimes just waiting for the perfect moment. A plant's first root is nature's ultimate gamble. Once extended, there's no relocating. Yet success transforms that fragile start into a powerful taproot capable of splitting bedrock and moving gallons of water daily. Root systems communicate danger like neural networks, their surface area exceeding leaves by 100-fold. Most plants can regenerate from a single intact root even after complete above-ground destruction. The acacia tree produces the deepest known roots. Workers digging the Suez Canal in 1860 found one extending over 100 feet below the surface. Imagine holding that living root in a trench. The tree must have registered shock through a flood of hormones when its hidden depths were suddenly exposed. This mirrors Jahren's journey. Choosing science as a woman in a male-dominated field represented an irreversible commitment with potential for either catastrophic failure or deep, sustaining success. Her relationship with Bill mirrors forest root systems, complementary organisms providing mutual support. Some collaborations feel destined, others impossible. Bill and Jahren's partnership is both. They met during a soil taxonomy field trip in California's Central Valley, where Jahren noticed Bill digging alone, away from the group. His evaluations were meticulous, including second-best answers. When she approached, he explained he used to live in a hole and didn't like people seeing the back of his head. He wielded his personal shovel, which he refused to leave unattended for 6 weeks. Despite different personalities, they connected over shared frustrations. When Jahren offered him a lab job, he simply said, okay, and revealed he had nowhere else to go, adding, I've got my own shovel. Their partnership became extraordinary. Jahren dreams up borderline impossible ideas and secures funding, then hands them to Bill, who protests while producing prototypes until the seventh one works. After surviving a harrowing car accident in Wyoming, they shared a greasy steak dinner and laughed uncontrollably at their near-death experience. 20 years together produced 3 degrees, 6 jobs, 4 countries, 65,000 carbon measurements, and 70 published articles, testament to scientific collaboration and genuine friendship. Leaves perform a miracle. They're the only things in the universe creating sugar from inorganic matter. Through photosynthesis, they split water and fix carbon from air into sugar, the process sustaining virtually all life on Earth. After anchoring itself, a plant shifts to capturing light, first using temporary cotyledons until constructing its first true leaf. These initial leaves follow vague genetic patterns with room for improvisation, explaining why oak leaves on the same tree vary dramatically. Consider a modest maple tree the height of a streetlight. Its shadow covers one parking space, but its leaves, laid flat, would cover 3. This clever stacking maximizes light capture. Smaller leaves at the top let sunlight reach lower branches, while darker green leaves at the bottom contain more pigment to harvest weaker rays. The tree's 35 pounds of foliage contains enough sucrose for 3 pecan pies and enough cellulose for nearly 300 sheets of paper. To gather necessary nutrients, the tree must absorb and evaporate at least 8,000 gallons of water from soil, enough to fill a tanker truck. Each autumn, deciduous trees shed their leaves with faith they'll regrow in spring. Desert plants don't choose harsh environments. They simply haven't been killed by them yet. Any cactus would thrive better elsewhere, but they're trapped. A barrel cactus can shed its roots during drought, contract its accordion-like folds, and survive rootless for years. When rain arrives, it either revives within 24 hours or proves dead. Even more remarkable are resurrection plants, unrelated species that desiccate to papery shreds, feigning death for years. Their leaves fill with concentrated sucrose during drying, preserving cellular structures. When rain comes, they rehydrate over 48 hours, living on pure sugar until photosynthesis restarts. Vines represent another survival strategy, opportunists searching frantically for something to cling to, fighting their way to light without the stiffness trees possess. These examples of plant resilience mirror human perseverance, including Yaren's own adaptability facing challenges from bipolar disorder to gender discrimination. After decades studying plants, Yaren appreciates their profound otherness. Yet civilization treats these 400-million-year-old life forms as mere resources. Since 1990, we've created over 8 billion new stumps yearly. At this rate, every tree on Earth vanishes in less than 600 years. The word green etymologically connects to growth across languages, evoking nature and creativity. Yet our planet grows less green each year. Yaren fears leaving future generations stranded without even the comfort of green. But she believes we can change this trajectory by each planting at least one tree. Choose carefully from over 1,000 North American species. Avoid weak ornamentals like Bradford pears. Consider oaks: pin oak for New England, turkey oak for Mississippi wetlands, live oak for California hills, or the mighty bur oak. Build relationships with your trees. Measure them monthly. Observe them daily. Stretch your imagination to understand their perspectives. When people think you're crazy about your tree, laugh. Your one tree won't save the world, but it saves you from being part of the problem, and that's where meaningful change begins.